Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show. Broadcast from the exact center of the galactic universe, Green Bay, Wisconsin, here to discuss all things concerning
marriage.
It is now the 16th. Ooh, we're over the hump into
December.
December, yeah.
It just means I don't have enough time left to finish Christmas shopping.
It's like 10 days left.
I know.
9 days.
Ooh. Nine.
The pressure's yes. On.
Oh no. What are we gonna do?
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Indeed, we are into Christmas full bore here.
Everywhere you go.
In Wisconsin, where it stays Christmas. 6 months out of the year.
Listening once again.
Because it's so stinking cold up here.
Yes.
Anyway, we're all excited. So all you guys, there's only 10 days left. Get out there. If you haven't bought my present yet and sent it to me, get with it, people!
Did you get my iPad yet?
Pay attention!
Did you get my iPad yet?
Your iPad, yeah. It's somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Yeah, it's lost in shipping.
If I were you, I'd just keep waiting at the door.
It's sitting in Best Buy somewhere.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What did you want for Christmas?
So, I don't know. Something expensive. So all you people out there, spend lots of money and send it to me.
Something expensive. A little more
right.
That doesn't matter. See, as long as it's expensive, I can just trade it and take the money.
I do. We have the perfect gift. It's just not coming until February. That will be something expensive
right,
for you.
Girl. The very first little girl.
Little girl.
My first granddaughter.
Thank heaven.
Fabulous. Anyway, I am here along with my psycho cast, the incredible, the amazing, the strange Diane Brierley.
Lady Brierley.
Lady Brierley.
Hello.
Don't get Lady Brierley upset.
My brain just blown her top.
You have to be very, very careful with Lady Brierley. And Ricky Ricardo. Wow, that's a voice out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky Ricardo.
Yeah. Yelling at Lucy.
My brain just blown her top.
Wow.
Also, the incredible, strange, and delightfully wonderful Ross Allen Skorzewski with us today.
Good morning.
Tim the Serial Killer Ray is doing the engineering for the program. Dana Mueller, who knows what ever happened to her?
Dana's dropped off the face of the earth.
I think the dating with Dana pushed her over the top.
No, I think it was her last name, Mueller.
Never coming back.
Her name is Mueller. She's a German gal, Mueller. So I don't know. I don't know if she'll ever be back again, but
you can hope.
That's all I got to say. Anyway, we're here to discuss all your questions, dilemmas concerning relationships. If you'd like to email us your dilemma, you can send it to radio@markgunger.com, and we will do our very best to answer. Well, we will answer it, whether or not it's the right answer.
It might be the right answer.
It could be totally wrong.
No, you're doing it all wrong.
But we will take a shot at it. So anyway.
Okay, starting out today, we often get questions from people wondering about their teenagers dating and the right way to do it, the wrong way to do it, and mm-hmm. we find out very often that people do indeed date the wrong way. So I came upon an article that was on WebMD.
WebMD.
Notice how I paused for you to say that because I knew you would.
WebMD.
It's entitled, Is This Love? Teen Tips for Romance and
True! Wow!
Unfortunately, I think most teens think everything is true love, but
okay.
We shall find out the 6 tips for teen romance and dating.
Date Number one.
Dating tip number one. Take your time. The date can wait. There's no need to rush into dating.
The date can wait. I like that. The date can wait. Can wait.
No need to rush. Girls need to feel good about themselves before they start to date.
Which means never.
Some girls feel pressured because their friends are dating, and this is a mistake. Girls should only date if they know themselves and know they want to date. Dating gives you the chance to build new skills, communication, decision-making, and assertiveness, for instance. But it takes a solid foundation to handle the strong emotions that romance can kindle. Too many girls get depressed, even suicidal, when their first love doesn't work out. If it's the first time she's gone through a breakup, it's easy for a girl to believe she'll never get over the emotional pain she feels.
Wow.
I'll never love again.
It's true. They get just despondent and act like the end of the universe.
First
is just
of all,
crashed
look at
in.
The beginning of this article. It's talking about dating at 13.
At 13, ages 13 to 17.
Look,
right.
You let your teenager date at age 13. You need a swirly, for heaven's sakes. What is the matter with you people? Why inflame passions that cannot be dealt with in a reasonable way? Mm-hmm. They're not going to die. Get them involved in other activities, group activities. You no business getting seriously dating at 13. Then you wonder why your girls lose their virginity, get pregnant, get STDs. I don't know how it happened. I don't know. I'll tell you how it happened. Because you're a nitwit letting your kids date at such an early age.
Right.
Goodness gracious.
The date can wait. I like that.
By their version of waiting is 13.
No. That's not waiting. What, they're going to let them when they're 11 or 12?
No, like I'm just saying the date can wait, but yet this is in the context of 13.
I know.
The web people
are saying 13.
Are idiots.
Too young.
All right.
Dating tip number two. This is one that you talk about often. Find someone who likes you back.
What a concept. How can people be so dumb?
Well, I did not do that.
Stupid does, sir.
I know, but...
You're the exception.
I'm a rare find.
This is the rule. You're the exception.
No, you know what? And I know this is going to sound sexist, but it's cool with the guy being the pursuer. I know it's very traditional and old-fashioned and stuff, but you are the pursuer trying to win the girl who did not like you back to win her heart.
Right.
What is bad is girls who give themselves to guys.
Sure.
Sexually and every other way and other stuff, who do not like them.
Right, mm-hmm. They're just
certainly they use them.
Yes, mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The tip goes on to say the feelings in a healthy relationship are mutual. The two people respect each other, respect each other's needs, and have fun together. If you want someone to respect your needs, you have to speak up. This is a good time to practice communication skills and assertiveness. For example, if the boy you're dating forgets your birthday, let him know how important birthdays are to you. Set the stage for open communication by speaking.
He forgets your birthday. A lot of these people that date for 3 months, that's a long time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get to a birthday.
True. Yeah.
And first of all, a 13-year-old is not likely to figure this out.
To figure what out?
You know, what they need respect and all this, you know.
But they need to at least like you and treat you not like poop. They need to like you back, find someone who likes you back and treats you nicely. It seems like this is written more for girls than for boys.
Yeah, I know, but good grief. See, I got a problem with the age thing. Look, when you're 14, 15, the only thing the other guys are thrilled about is the fact that you got boobs.
Yep. That's right.
Look at her.
She's got boobs.
She got boobs.
They're not interested in respecting you or finding out what you like.
Because there is.
There's what?
I'm waiting.
What?
I thought you were going to play There's a Shortage of.
Oh, that's right.
He set you up and you missed it.
Yeah, we set it up. All they're interested in the fact that.
There's a shortage of perfect breasts in this world.
And at 14 or 15, you got pretty much the most perfect breasts you're ever going to have right there.
That's right.
So,
get a clue. You know what ticks me off is the parents. You know, here they are trying to educate the kids. This isn't a kid problem, it's a parent problem because they're idiots. Just makes me crazy.
Any of this getting through to your son?
And how many parents, you know, mothers living through their daughters trying to set this up, trying to get them into this as well?
Because a lot of insecure women try to live vicariously through their daughters.
Yes. They do.
And they get all excited about the dating process and the messing around and stuff like that because they got addicted to it when they were teenagers.
That's right.
Because they were firing off all these emotions and stuff they shouldn't have been firing off at early, and they want to redo it, and they live it again.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anyway. All right.
Tip number three, move on from setbacks. If a boyfriend doesn't give you what you need, walk away. You also need to work through how...
Yeah, at 13, 14, what's the boy supposed to be giving her?
This is all crazy. You know, this is all great advice for someone in their 20s, as far as I'm concerned.
But not for teens.
This ticks me off because it's for 13, 14, 15-year-olds.
there is, number five is good. Number four is talk about Facebook and it's how adolescents need to deal with the Facebook issue. But five was good because it says protect yourself from pressure. Pressure is not love and it's not even normal. If you ever feel pressured or forced to do things that you don't want to do, that's a red flag and a good time to slow things down. That's easier said than done. A lot of girls...
I don't think they're mature enough to even identify it as pressure.
No. Well, can you extrapolate this into later, like 18, 19, 20?
Well, sure, they understand 20? The pressure because they're getting into the relationship and dating in theory because of tip number one, because everybody else is doing it. Yeah. So peer pressure is putting them in the situation to date anyways.
Yeah. You think they're aware of that?
Yes.
They're conscious of that. They don't want to do it, but they feel they have to do it.
Yes. Absolutely.
Because everybody else is?
You know, you got to remember, you know, the teenagers today, it's not like when, Diane, when you were a teenager.
You know, back a billion years
back
ago.
Back in the 30s.
You know, they're, I mean, it's... The sexual promiscuity, the things that they're doing, the way that they're getting involved in relationships, it's getting younger and younger and younger. And I think that they're understanding these pressures as well.
But it does list, it says, here's a few concrete things you can do to keep yourself out of the pressure chamber with a guy. First, avoid situations where a guy might expect you to do things you don't want to do. Don't invite him over to your house when your parents aren't home.
Exactly. Or
if he wants to go to your room.
Go to your room with the door closed.
Yeah.
Parents are so stupid. We read our kids the Riot Act. There's no way you get to go into our daughter's room or into our son's room, period. Right. You never go
it's
in
off
there.
Off limits.
Off limits. It's very simple. You're out here in the open with everybody else.
This I thought was interesting. Go out with boys your age. Girls involved with guys 3 or more years older are far more likely to say that they had sex when they didn't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, because all they're interested in is the fact that...
There's a shortage of perfect breasts in this world.
I am mortified by the number of kids my daughter's age, who's going to be 16 this year, that they're 14, 15, 16. They're letting their daughters go out with 17, 18, 19-year-old guys. I'm thinking, what on earth are you thinking, letting your daughters go out with guys that are older?
It's stupid is, stupid does, sir.
There you go.
They're just dumb, man.
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Mm-mm.
And these are Christians that do this. Right. I know I don't know about your situation, but I know Christians, they're just as dumb as they can be. And then they will be shocked. They'll write us on this show. What am I doing? My daughter's pregnant. What am I going to do? She has STDs. What? You know. I don't. You know. There's no fix for dumb.
No.
How do you fix dumb? How do you fix just dumb?
Well, you have to try to educate people, but they often don't get it. They don't get it.
You got a 14-year-old girl who is at her physical beauty peak. From now for the next 3, 4, 5 years, sadly, peaks and goes down from there rather quickly.
And
you're putting them in a situation where they can be sexual, where people can take advantage of them.
Well, this comes back to parenting then. A lot of things, too, is, you know, some of these parents wanting to be the friend and not the parent, you know, wanting to be liked and not having to put strong structure, boundaries.
Oh, major problem again.
Yeah.
Well, it's not the kids that need to be instructed, although they do. It's the parents.
Absolutely.
Read this last stupid one.
The last stupid one. Number six, give love time to grow. If you love someone, the feelings may be very intense. You may not remember having felt so strongly before in your life. Is this true love? To get to the heart of the matter, look at your feelings for signs of mature or immature love. Immature love is infatuation. People in immature love need constant reassurance and often have trouble focusing on anything. Being in love is more interesting than the actual people involved. Unrealistic expectations typically go hand in hand with immature love, leaving you feeling unfulfilled and unappreciated. Immature love is common. Movie and TV help immature love thrive on screen and in our lives. But mature love grows stronger with time.
Well, and what do you think the time is?
Well... When you're 15, if you've known him for a week.
To the parents, to the adults here, give love time to grow. What do they think is happening here? What was their time frame?
For an adult?
No, I'm just saying for the adults who are writing this and they're saying to your teenage, what do these stupid adults think is a reasonable time to let, what are they, 5 years, 6 years?
I don't know.
See, that's why I think they're so dumb. You know, slow down. It doesn't take long.
Right.
For emotions and passions. Just, of course, they say, well, that's immature. How are you going to figure that out?
They don't know. They don't
14
have a clue.
To 15
they
years
don't
age.
Have a clue.
Especially within 3 or 4 months of being together in theory.
If you want your kid married at 16, then you let him date at 14. It's just that simple.
There you go.
If you want him married at 17, then you let him date at 15. That's why it's 16. At least that's in the ballpark. If they want to marry really, or if you're ready for that, mm-hmm. and they find the right connection, say, well, I don't want to get married at 18. Well, don't let them date at 16.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till they're 70. Means they can get married at 19. Now, okay, they're closer to the ballpark. But goodness gracious.
Because it's going to go somewhere. You start dating, it's going to go somewhere.
Right.
I don't know.
Tips for
now, again, if you're talking, you know, one-off deals with friends, mm-hmm. going
that's
to the
different.
Prom. That's different. But you're talking the same boy mm-hmm. keeps showing up time and time and time and time again. This is, man, if it's going on for 3-4 months, you ought to be freaking
mm-hmm.
out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you got these kids who date throughout all
what do you
all
think
of high
happens
school?
When they're all by themselves? Okay, listen, I was a teenage boy. I was a heathen. But I got to tell you, we weren't praying.
Mm-mm.
We are in
seeking the Lord.
We're in discovery mode.
Oh my
ooh,
gosh.
Look at this. Ooh, look what that does when you touch this.
Oh.
Ooh, look at that.
Lord
Whoa.
Have mercy.
Shazam.
Laying on our hands.
Hallelujah. You know. So, I mean, what do you think? Parents?
It is the parents.
It's their
the
fault.
Absolutely.
It's their fault.
Absolutely.
They can moan and groan about the culture, but they, you know.
They become products of
don't
their
don't let a TV raise your kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And have some sense. And I'm telling you, there are parents who are thrilled by this.
Oh, they are.
I know parents who let their kids sit all by themselves for hours and hours alone with the mm-hmm. door closed.
Right.
And then find out later, you know, that the kid was boinking the other kid.
What was going on in there?
Yeah.
And then they're all upset about it.
Well, I trusted them.
Oh.
Well, how dumb are you?
You used to have the saying, you can't trust a teenager as far as you could throw them.
Mm-hmm. But no, here's the thing. It's not about an attack on teenagers.
Right.
They wouldn't do it themselves.
Right.
No, Mrs. Brierley, would you get alone with another man who's not your husband for four or 5 hours at a time in a bedroom door with the door closed?
No.
Why not? You're mature.
Well, because that's an accident waiting to happen.
Well, see, that's the point. Right. Even a mature woman who had a half of a brain would not allow herself mm-hmm. as a mature adult mm-hmm. to be in that situation. But yet they allow their teenagers right. to be put in the very – so it's not like a slam, you know, season, well, if you trust teenagers, you're – you know, it's not –
you're setting them up
to fail.
Get it.
Yeah, but still, it's not even about that. It's like using your brain.
Right. Well, they
think they are. We're talking you wouldn't let an adult. I would not allow myself to be in an intimate situation with a woman, I don't know, 3-4 months at a time while we're alone, sequestered. Yeah. What do you think's going to happen?
Well, sadly, I think there are many moms who would do exactly that. That they think, well, I can be friends. I think that they're that dumb. There are some, too many that are that dumb.
There's no fix for stupid.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There you have it. For all the idiot people out there, you should be very depressed after listening to this
15-minute
open.
For stupid dating.
Stupid is. Stupid is as stupid does. And I just, you know, it just makes me mad. Because at the end of the day, you know, this is the problem that we're having.
Mm-hmm.
People keep getting disasters in their lives because they do not think. There's just...
Stupid in, stupid
anyway,
out.
Anyway, I think I've railed enough on this. We're going to go to break, come back, see if we can compose ourselves. And take on our emails of the day. You can send your email questions, dilemmas, to radio@markgunger.com. We'll be back with more right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to radio@markgunger.com. And Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
This Christmas season, when it comes to looking for that special gift for that special someone in your life, think outside the box and go to laughyourway.com, where all of Mark Gunger's DVDs are buy one, get one half off. This Christmas, buy the gift that will keep on giving. This offer is available only at laughyourway.com.
Now, available on DVD, Manly Man Chew. Worth the fight.
Oh, I'm so sick to death of this politically correct. Don't shoot the animals. They might get their feelings hurt. This is Wisconsin. You don't even pretend to be animal rights activists around here. You guys are like, see the bunny, shoot it, eat it, make a hat.
Worth the fight. In this DVD, we take on the mission to free men from the chains of political correctness and prevent our eventual wussification.
We wussified the poor child, and now we got self-esteem issues. Ooh, Johnny can't tie his shoe. Let's not make him learn. What if he's not as good as another kid and feels embarrassed? Let's put Velcro straps on children's shoes.
This funny and hard-hitting DVD empowers men to stand up and become the man that God sees in all of them. Order yours today at laughyourway.com.
Great voice.
Talent.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
It's a shame.
Did you see that documentary that they did after his death?
This is it.
Oh, yeah.
I did not. Amazing. I would like to.
Oh, I was like.
It just boggled my mind.
He's just, the whole thing is just recordings of him practicing.
Yes.
And the way he could move. And see, he wasn't even trying to sing half the time.
He was a master of his craft.
He was so nice. Mm-hmm. Did you notice how nice he was with the people?
Yep.
I'm a big fat jerk. Honestly, you know, man alive. I mean, no matter what would go along, he would just be nice. You know, I don't have the patience for that.
You're a very bad man.
Stop saying that.
What movie is that from?
Wizard of Oz.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I'm sorry.
Anyway.
Okay, diving into emails. Are you ready?
I am ready.
My husband, 26, and I, 29, are new to the Laugh Your Way series, but so far I like it, so I have hope. Here is some quick background. We were married in the Catholic Church 5 years ago and have two toddlers who are my world. I retired after our second son. It was for quality time reasons more than money.
She became
a stay-at-home mom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, got
it. I liked my career of 10 years, so it was a sacrifice in my eyes, especially since I was such a workaholic.
Is that really called retiring?
No, not really.
I wouldn't think so at that age.
No, it's not retiring. She had it in quotation
marks. Okay, got it. Okay.
But I do not regret it at all now. We've got two houses on the non-existent market for sale. You know about that.
Two houses. You're living in a third, and you have two other houses?
Well, maybe they're living in one. It's for sale. I would assume that that's what it is. She started a photography business on the side, and her husband's going to school for his MBA, so they have some stresses going on. But here's the major...
He's getting his IMBA.
IMBA, yeah. The major issue that she can't shake. Not related to any of this, but the stress is adding to it. The major issue is a dog. Of all things.
Lord.
The dog started this. She said, our boys are very high energy.
It's a dog.
Real doggy.
Perfect. Love dogs. But her husband says he is allergic to dogs. She has no proof of this.
As in quotations too?
Yes. Allergic.
What does that mean?
She says, I have no proof of this, nor have I seen anything to confirm it. He just hates them. We got into a calm debate about it one evening, no raised voices, but he stated that he'd, quote, have no problem leaving me and the kids if he ever came home to a dog. He said he'd be happy to move into our other house 2 hours away. I didn't think he could actually drop that low with that
This was a calm conversation,
he said this.
He politely threw that out.
So he politely said.
I hate to see it loud.
He would have no problem.
Go crazy.
My brain just blown her top.
There was a dog. And then he actually, to prove his point, wrote the exact statement on Facebook in front of our friends and family. I was heartbroken to the extreme. Who actually admits something like that publicly? This man that I'd always put on a pedestal just threw himself off of it. He ended up retracting his statement online after numerous posts of disgust from others. Although he never apologized for it, and after days of giving him the cold shoulder, he agreed to getting a dog after we reached several goals, and she's totally okay with the goals. But I can't get myself to forgive him for that statement. It's not even about a dog anymore. I don't know if it's because he actually put it out there in words for all to see or because I dropped my whole life for our boys. Help. I feel like I'm married to an empty shell now. Is this the way it feels like to fall out of love? Every time he makes comments about what other people are doing wrong, I feel more hate growing inside of me toward him. It's to the point of me wanting to cheat on him just so he can feel some type of pain back.
Whoa, girl.
Wow.
Slow down.
Good night in heaven.
Something's wrong with you.
She said, there are sex issues intertwined in all of this, obviously, but to sum it up, I act like the man and he is the woman. He doesn't have a drive and I do, so I have to listen to all of your stuff backwards. Anyway, when you answer, I want to download the show and give it to him.
You know what?
I'd
check and see if he's into porn. That's always a telltale sign of someone who's into porn. Is there? If he's a young guy, healthy guy, he sounds like he's pretty
26.
Young. 26, not interested, has no sex drive. Mm-hmm. Bet you he's.
And this all started over a dog.
Bet you he's playing with the Yankees.
This is just from a canine.
Playing with the Yankees. Started with a dog. And he doesn't listen to her. She thinks that he won't blow
Get
you
a grip,
off.
Man. Wait, no. Don't.
Quit playing with the Yankees.
Something's wrong with you.
Something's
really
wrong with you.
Goodness gracious. I'll check on. Look, first of all, it's a dog.
Yeah.
Okay? It's a dog. You don't get crazy over a dog. For him to say something so mean-spirited and stupid is signs, one, he's not the smartest guy in the world, despite his effort to get an IMBA.
Imbas don't mean smart.
Imbas. So he's going for his MBA. So, you know, while he might be book smart, he's certainly not relationally smart. Mm-hmm. And what he was doing was, especially if you're discussing this and he doesn't like it, he's fighting with you. Mm-hmm. This problem is he's fighting very, very badly. He's fighting dirty. Mm-hmm. Okay? Get my book, Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. I got a whole chapter on talking about how to fight, but fight fair. Don't fight dirty. People fight. That's a very, very mean.
That's mean.
The way of ending the argument is I'm going to leave you. Right. Well, that kind of made the point, right? Mm-hmm. That would be like saying, you know, I don't want you to step on the grass where I just, you know, seeded some new seed. Mm-hmm. You know, if you do, I'll shoot you with my shotgun.
Well,
didn't need to shoot with a shotgun. Yeah. I mean, that's a little extreme, but you get the point across, right?
Yes.
So then there's people that they don't know how to debate emotionally very well. So what they do is they go to the meanest nuclear option that they possibly can to try and win an argument. Mm-hmm. So don't let this ruin your marriage. I mean, it's not worth it. So he's a jackass with the way he's talking about, you know, leaving you over a dog.
But then
everybody
escalates.
Confronted him. Yeah. You gave him the cold shoulder. He apologized. He let you get the dog. He backed off. But don't get all bitter and angry and hang on to something. Like, this is, it's insane. You're going
to
destroy your marriage. She wants
back.
To go out and boink some bimbo. What?
Starting
you're going
to
boink some
him.
Bimbo? For what?
Well, she's not going to boink a bimbo.
She wants to boink a bimbo. A guy. She wants to be the bimbo doing the boinking.
Yeah.
Just to make a point? Boy, both of you guys really need to learn how to fight fair.
Very nasty.
He's going to leave you over a dog, and your way to answer to the dog is you're going to go screw some stranger? You both need to go get my book and learn how to fight fair. We'll be back right after this.
Are you tired of wasting your time and money on marriage counseling that works temporarily but leaves you worse off than before? My name is Larry Bellotta, and I know what it's like to endure a miserable marriage because I've been there. I lived 27 years in a marriage made in hell, but in the 28th year, I fell in love with my wife. And today, we're continuously married, 34 years happier than ever. Over the years of working with couples, I found that one thing holds them back from the marriage they really want, resentment. It's true. If you don't feel good, you won't do good. How many people in miserable marriages can do something positive when they feel angry inside? And it's in struggling marriages that you miss that intimacy, that closeness and connection that you used to have. It's time you tried something that really works when counseling won't. And that something is called the Fulfilled Couple Program. You're going to learn how to eliminate your negative feelings in 60 seconds so you no longer have to get angry, no longer have to get critical of one another. And that's why this program has an 88% success rate. Go to fulfilledcouple.com/mark to learn more. That's fulfilledcouple.com/mark. And get ready to fall in love again.
It's here, finally. For years, Mark Gunger has been asked to create a product for teenagers, and the time is now. Sex, Dating, and Relating is the newest product brought to you by Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way America. In this 4-disc DVD set, Mark covers the topics of sex, dating, and relating in a straightforward and relevant way that teens will sit up and pay attention to.
And there's that one special cosmic being out there just for you. No, there's not. okay? It is a bunch of hooey.
In partnership with national abstinence speaker Pam Stenzel, Mark and Pam tackle the topic of sex in a real way. Honest and to the point. Not just telling our teens what not to do, but why they should wait for marriage.
Students, you have a 4 times greater risk of contracting a disease today than you ever have of being pregnant. Pregnant teen girls in your state today are carrying, on average, 2.3 sexually transmitted diseases.
Sex, dating, and relating is perfect for parents and teens to watch together, for youth groups and school groups. It's all the information you wish you would have heard when you were young. Make sure your teenager gets this information before it's too late. To order your copy, visit us online today at laughyourway.com. Sex, dating, and relating. Give this gift of knowledge to your teen today.
Come to Green Bay, we'll show you that.
The frozen tundra.
If you're a kid, it does. Kids love that.
Turn it up a little bit.
In the frosty air. What a right time. It's the right time to rock the night away. Jingle bell time is a swell time to go gliding in a one-horse sleigh. Go giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet, jingle around the clock. A mix and a mingle in the jingling feet.
Everybody,
that's the jingle bell ride.
Who's this? Rascal Flatts. You know what? I caught it right there when he did it. My bottom thing.
Ooh, I like Rascal Flatts.
I do too.
Because he's a rascal.
Very cool. Well, welcome back to the Mark Gunger Show as we answer your marital dilemmas that you can send to us at radio@markgunger.com. I just want to touch on, again on this previous email. There's ways to argue. There's ways to fight without going to the nuclear option. Mm-hmm. They both are nuclear people. Mm-hmm. You notice that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He doesn't want a dog, so he's going to leave her, which is a dumb thing.
Calm to leaving. Mm-hmm.
She's mad at him, so she wants to go screw some other guy to make her point. Right. Yeah, that would make the point.
It's a little excessive.
It's like we're mad at Cuba. Let's drop an atomic bomb on Havana. Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's other ways of making the point without destroying everything
in
the process. Don't go nuclear when you're fighting for what. And don't freak out that you got to fight for what you want. And don't, I can't forgive him for that. You two need to have a talk with each other. Well, you need to make an agreement. Say, hey, listen, we need to get things in perspective here. For you to want to leave me over a dog, mm-hmm. and honestly, I feel like going out and screwing some other guy just to make you mad. Clearly, we have issues here.
Right.
Because at some point, one of you guys is going to pull the nuclear trigger, and you're going to destroy everything. You'll make your point. You'll win, but you'll kill everything in the process. It's not worth it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
All right.
Okay, into the second half an hour of the show with an article from CBS News. Your marriage or your kids? What comes first? Your marriage or your kids? Which is at the top of your priority list? And you talk about this a lot, Mr. Gunger. In many of today's busy families, it's the children who most often get top billing. But one expert believes that could spell trouble for the whole family. David Code, family counselor and author of To Raise Happy Kids, Put Your Marriage First, says, for most parents these days, their children are priority number one and their marriage is maybe priority number 10. In his book, Code explains that no one wins when parents are hyper-focused on their kids. Today's parents are breaking their backs trying to create the perfect trauma-free childhood so little Johnny can grow up to be the perfect adult. It's anxiety-producing, it's exhausting, and it isn't working, he said.
Got that right.
Code has counseled many families and has seen this type of anxiety lead to all kinds of emotional and learning problems in children. It's an epidemic.
Isn't that amazing?
Yep.
Yeah. It's gotten out of control. People are so hyper-focused on their kids, they're actually ruining their kids.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He goes on to say, we have to start training our children from 0 to 13 rather than just coddling them and bailing them out of every problem.
Yes, Mom.
Then they end up like mush when they're 18 and going off to college on their own. Families that revolve around the needs of the children is a cultural shift from previous generations. Children of the 50s and 60s stayed under the radar while the adults were the priority. Code says we don't need to turn the clock back, but we should be more aware of the health of our relationships or face the consequences.
We do need to turn the clock back, you Nimrod. We need- not a dumb thing. It worked great in the 50s and 60s, but we shouldn't try and be like that still.
Yeah, we shouldn't do what actually works.
That's where the problem is coming.
We don't want to do what actually works because, right. You know, heaven forbid, we might get it right.
How about you do go back and start? Listen, if you are saying you make the children the priority, you do so by making the adults the priority.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the dumbest thing. Women who say they love their children and they do everything they can to destroy their children. By divorcing the father.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Well, I love my children. No, you don't. Yes, I... No,
you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You single... Your moms out... You women out there wanting to divorce your husbands, thinking you really... I love my children, though. I'm not happy. I'm going to divorce, but I love my children. You're deceiving yourself.
Mm-hmm. But what do you do with the some of the scenarios, though, where either the man or the woman stay in the relationship just for the children, but they live like divorced couples in the home?
No, so that's not good. But even that's better. Than divorce.
It is, but it's still toxic.
But it's still better than divorce. That's the worst scenario.
Right.
But how about you all become adults? How about you get along? You say you love your children.
Well, I'm not going to talk to my husband.
No, then you don't love your children.
Right.
So that's my point.
Yep.
Well, I'll divorce him. Then you don't love your children. That's not... How can you say that? Because it's true.
You don't.
I'm not going to have sex with my husband anymore. Then you hate your children. What? How can you say that? Because it's true.
You're not going to have a
dad. If you love your children, you guys, you will get along with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
If you hate each other, if you don't get along with each other, you say you're a man and you care about your kids, but you ignore your wife, you're a liar.
Yep.
I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. So I've had it. I've got no slack.
Turn in your testicles. You're out of the man
club.
Turn
in your testicles. You're out of the man club. You say you love your kids and you treat their mother like crap. That's it's right. Inconsistent.
And this whole thing, well, I got to prioritize. My kids or my that's like saying, okay, I got to cut off one part of my body. Is it my leg or my arm?
You know what? If you really love your body, you don't cut off either one.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You take care of them both.
Well, I got to prioritize my leg over my hand. Why? No, I got to prioritize my hand over my leg. Why? I mean, it's absurd.
Right.
They disconnect things that are the same unit. And I'm stunned by it.
He concludes just the article by saying...
And what's sad is this article actually makes some sense.
Mm-hmm.
Until...
Why people do this is because they get so much bad information for people saying, you know, it's better for the kids than being, as you said, in a toxic relationship.
Right.
And you shouldn't have to put up with this. And
need to do what makes you happy.
It's
better that kids see two happy parents than live in a family where the parents... That's just bull. That is bull.
But here they say they love all of them. I'm telling you, you take any woman... Because right now we got all kinds of people mad at me just for what I just said.
How can you say that? Because I love my children.
No, you don't. Don't tell me you love your kids when you hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you're divorcing each other. It's inconsistent.
Well, I hate you. You'll never see me anymore. Well, get in line with everybody else who hates me, doesn't listen anymore. I don't care.
Good grief. They're going to patty cake this situation around. How inconsistent. I love my children.
But
I hate my wife.
Everything
I hate my husband.
Family.
They're all full of it. I'm just telling you.
Ah, how's that encourage you?
Does this answer your question?
Goodness gracious.
He finishes by saying, so the next time you're feeling guilty about leaving the kids with a babysitter, remember, you may actually be doing them a favor.
Get your relationship right. Yep. Get your relationship right. If you love your foot, you take care of your hand. If you love your toes, you wash your hair. If you want to keep your nose... You make sure that you brush your teeth. Why? So you don't get a disease that spreads through your body and kills you. If you love your organs, you take care of your... You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
You don't want a disease in your body? You wipe your butt, for heaven's sakes. There's all kinds of things that you do. Why? Because you care about the whole deal. And how people separate these things out. How do you take one unit and slice it up saying, I'm trying to protect the other part? Now. If you have a hand that's out of control and keeps grabbing knives and stabbing the rest of your body,
right.
You might have to cut off your hand then. If you're in a toxic relationship where the guy's beating you and committing adult, okay, then, you know, yeah,
but still, that's not the norm, though.
Yeah, but still, you're going to lose the arm.
Absolutely.
It's still, you know, but now because it's killing everything else. Now, that I understand. But you have to understand, people, when I talk like that, because the people who are in those situations get really mad. You know, the majority of crappy relationships in the world are not that extreme at all.
No. Right?
Mm-hmm. They're just not happy.
Right.
They're just, like the lady, I'm mad. I want to go boink somebody because he didn't want my dog. He was going to leave me over a dog, so I want to screw somebody. This is insane thinking.
Well, it is.
You love your children? I bet you this woman, the last Catholic lady, would say she'd lay down her life. She'd say she'd die. But yet, she'd go screw some stranger.
They don't make the connection.
To make a point to their husband. Yeah.
They don't see the connection. I promise you.
What is the matter with people?
Are you all right there?
I need to start drinking.
Something more than Aquafina.
I need some Jack Daniels on this show. I'm going to be 84. Just a big old bottle of hooch.
Still doing the show.
Just doing a show. Just half blasted out of my mind just to kill the pain.
Okay,
all right.
Ready? Email says, a little backstory. My wife and I are 31 years old. She has one daughter, age 15, and we have two boys, 6 and 4, together. So apparently second marriage.
Previous marriages.
Or baby out of wedlock.
Right. Yeah, or maybe, sure. Yeah. About 2-3 years ago, your Laugh Your Way DVDs were an instrumental part in reuniting me with my wife after we were separated for about 9 months. It was a great icebreaker. I had come back to following Christ during that separation, and through our reunification, she began to come to church with me. She was not exposed to Christ prior. As we were doing better, we cut back and eventually stopped counseling, yet continued going to church. Some of our difficulties are that she works the graveyard shifts at a home as a home health nurse and is with our kids during the day while I'm at work. Then I get home and she's hard-pressed to get any sleep prior to going back to work again. She's highly resistant to the idea that she has to ask more than once, ask nicely, and negotiate to get my attention so I can help. Although I try not to be so stubborn and listen sooner, I still have a hard time with that. I know I could have done more around the house, but in her exhausted state, she would often come to chastise me while I was already cleaning something or otherwise doing a chore. Our financial issues didn't make things better, and neither does her $50 a week beer habit that she says she has a $50 a week beer habit that she says she needs or blames me for.
Wow.
Finally, I caught her daughter, who was just moving in with us, taking some inappropriate pictures with her webcam.
Oh, Lord.
And that resulted in
back up. What?
The daughter, his stepdaughter, the 15-year-old, he caught her taking some inappropriate pictures with her webcam.
What would that be?
Like sexting,
pictures,
but
I would
just
guess.
On the web.
Oh, taking pictures of her hoochie mamas?
Must be. Yep. Something like
the
that.
The nether regions.
Yes.
The nether regions. Do not photograph your nether regions.
Please do not.
There's a reason. It's in the nethers.
That resulting argument was the straw that broke her back. She has moved out again. She has absolutely no interest in fixing things. She has no interest in God's way. And
she moved
likely
out because he got daughter? Upset because the daughter's taking pictures of her hoochie mamas.
Apparently that was the straw that broke the camel's back. That was the argument that did it. She's most likely going to stop going to church entirely. She tells me that she has just some disagreements with the church. First disagreement she brings up is abortion, because she's had two abortions.
Oof.
Second is her believing gays are born that way because her brother is gay. And third is that this divorce is right for her. She often complains that she doesn't feel safe around me, but I've never physically hurt her or threatened her verbally, though I admit that in our earlier years, prior to our first separation, I carried a heavily threatening demeanor, whatever that means, when I would argue. I'm not certain of her salvation, although I try not to call it one way or another. Even John Newton took 6 years to leave the slave business after he was saved. I'm realizing that some of my own mindset isn't right currently. I realize that in the last separation, I needed to make up for my being so lousy of a husband, but this time I haven't been trying so hard to win her back, because this time her issues bear a greater weight in the split. I'm not going to hold on to the idea.
You give me a headache. Yes. Stop, stop.
Sounds like none of this has to do anything with him.
Stick a fork in my eye.
All I have is a scissors. Will that do?
Put it down.
Good heavens. What the heck? We're getting some emails with some huge lists here.
Right. Yes. It's novel.
Because everybody's making their list and checking it twice. So let me put my list on what I hate about you.
Let's have a contest. Everyone, fill out your list of what you hate about your spouse and send them to the show.
There's a lot of complicated things in this.
Oh, for goodness gracious sakes.
Blended family?
I can't even begin to tackle this.
Separated ones.
Yep.
And you know what it is? It's like someone who waits until there's so many tumors throughout
there's
their whole body
right.
before they go to the doctor to get fixed. And the doctor says, well, there's not like I can help you. I'm trying to make you comfortable while you die.
Yeah. There's just an awful
dude,
lot
I mean, there's a million things here you should have been dealing with a long time ago. You need to get some serious counseling. Mm-hmm. This is way out of the league. If you had one issue, I could weigh on two issues. But you've got what? I didn't even let her finish it. I got a headache.
But she needs the counseling, too.
I mean, need a $50 beer habit, for heaven's sakes, just after listening to this show.
Per show.
How much beer is $50 a beer?
Depends on what you're buying, I guess. I mean, if you're going just for the regular old run-of-the-mill old Milwaukee, man, that's a lot
that's
of beer.
That's a lot of beer. $50 of old Milwaukee is a lot.
But if you're getting yourself some microbrews.
In heaven, there is no beer.
Yeehaw!
That's why we drink it here.
Everybody, poke out.
And when we're gone from here.
Yes.
All our friends will be drinking all our beer. La, 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 la.
You cannot even legally get married in the state of Wisconsin.
La, 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 la.
Unless you have this song sung at your wedding.
La, 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 la.
It will not last up in court.
La, 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 la.
It is not a legal binding contract until that song
until
is played.
Until they play the song. You come to a wedding in Wisconsin.
You have to have
money
that
says
they will. Yeah. And the she's
and they will all be
me.
Polkaing to it, by the way.
Yes.
I mean she's
and
got
the chicken
issues.
Dance.
Yeah.
Two abortions.
Well, he wants to know how to pursue her without driving her away. And then this is an interesting question. Is there any type of correcting her, even with the word, that's possible from my position?
Dude, it's so layered. I got a headache. Yeah. Just thinking about this, I just
need to get some serious counseling.
He's trying to
and
win her
people,
back.
You people out there that are anywhere near this man, you deal with stuff right away when it comes up. Here's what happens: people who don't want to deal with confrontation, they put it on the shelf. Then they take something else and put it on the shelf, and they take something else and put it. And the shelf at some point gets so big and so heavy, it just cracks and falls apart and destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the whole premise of working opposite shifts and never seeing
first
each other,
of all,
that's a huge
just start
problem
there.
Right there.
Start there, you goofballs. Why are you working different shifts?
Well, we need the money.
Get a different house. Mm-hmm. Move in a mobile home.
Mm-hmm.
Get an apartment. Quit buying all that crap that you got.
Unless you can make it work. I mean,
No.
I don't know how you make that work.
My daughter works all night long from like 10 to... From 9 to...
Like 3 to 9.
3 in the morning. And you work all... And so you never see each other except for shifts passing night. I beat the crap out of both of you.
You can't possibly have a
relationship. They work differently. She works in the evening. But we're talking shifts. We're talking like...
No, I understand, yes.
They don't even see each other.
Right.
And they're all stressed out and they're passing each other like ships in the night. Right. What part of this doesn't say to you, life sucks?
Trouble.
It is not conducive to a marriage.
Just your very beginning part of your email that says that you guys are living in a situation where we both work totally different shifts and you hardly see each other and everybody's completely exhausted trying to... Why didn't you start there?
Mm-hmm. You have to be able to spend time together.
Let's take a break because I need medication. and I'll rail on this some more when we come back right after this.
He's a pastor, best-selling author, and popular marriage speaker. He's Mark Gunger, bringing you hard-hitting and honest marriage advice. If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country. This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Men's brains are very unique. Men's brains are made up of little boxes. And we have a box for everything. We've got a box for the car. We've got a box for the money. We've got a box for the job. We've got a box for you. We've got a box for the kids. We've got a box for your mother somewhere in the basement. We got.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com. Mark Gunger's sold-out women's conference is now available on DVD.
Here's the question of the evening. Why would a man like myself
be concerned about helping women become strong, confident women. Because I'm concerned about marriages, families, churches. Ultimately, I'm concerned about men. You're here tonight because I'm concerned about men. Why would I be concerned about men? Because I do not believe that we will be able to unlock the spiritual potential in men as long as we have women who enable those men to act very badly.
Order your Butt Kicking Women's Conference DVD with over 6 hours of life-changing speakers, available at laughyourway.com.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
All right, back on the Mark Unger Show. Having consumed $50 worth of beer during the break.
During a two-minute break.
Just to help me get through the final 10 minutes. Of this show.
You're a very bad man.
I know it. Very but this show's making crazy.
Some days, yes.
Goodness gracious. Listen to me. You people out there, I mean, honestly, look, this guy, I can't help this guy. I already admit I can't. Mm-hmm. You need to help. I can't help you. Mm-hmm. You're way in over your head. But let's back up to the very beginning. Some of you people right now working different shifts and never spending any time with each other, what exactly do you think your life's going to be like? How do you expect to maintain a relationship?
Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen.
Right. It would be like your house going to the toilet because nobody ever cleans it. Do you know what your toilet will look like after 6 months of no one ever cleans it?
Ooh.
I mean, it would be like somebody who never cleans their toilet and then later they're complaining, man, it's green and all icky and it's horrible. We need a new toilet. I just needed to get a new toilet. No, how about you clean the toilet you have?
Right. You can't even call it a relationship.
Goodness gracious. I mean, this alone of people, and the number of people I've had talk to me who come, they say their lives suck, mm-hmm. their marriage is horrible. Can I fix it? What can I do? And you talk to them, well, we work different shifts. And I just think, how stupid can you be?
And they don't see the connection, and they don't want to change the situation
now, if you
either.
Think, if you've got a great marriage that you work like this, email, I'd love to hear it. I'd love to hear it. I won't believe it, but I'd love to hear it. I mean, how dumb can you be? You never see each other. You never spend time with each other. And then you wonder why your marriage is so bad.
And why the kids are doing what they're doing, taking pictures of their hoochie mamas and putting it on.
Goodness gracious. I mean, it's just that part alone set up the rest of the whole, his whole email.
Sure.
Right. Of course you're going to have problems.
Unless that's one thing after another.
Yep.
I don't know. I just...
Can you handle one more short one? Are you okay?
Is it uplifting? Is it on the positive
no,
side?
No, I don't think he'll go crazy. I don't think he'll
any of this getting through to you, son?
Yeah, it's a problem. It's starting to get through to me.
Making me crazy.
This is an easy one.
Okay.
You'll be okay. You can do it. Very simply, is there such a thing as soulmates? I hear sometimes people refer to their spouse that they married their soulmate. Are they meaning just their best friend? What does that mean? Is there such a thing as soulmates?
For most people, it's just a term of endearment. You're the one. You're the special one for me. You become my wife is, in essence, my soulmate. But for a lot of people, they actually believe there is one special cosmic human being designed just for them. If you think that, you're a Nimrod.
Wrapped up in a moron.
Yes. You're just crazy. There is not one special person just for you. I know some of you relationship girls and romantic.
Oh, how can you say that? Because I really believe. Oh, stop it.
Really, you think God Almighty created another human being just to make you happy? How narcissistic can you be?
Very.
And the Bible never, we say we're Christians, we're people of faith, we live by God's word. But we believe in stupid things like soulmates. And the church goes around and spiritualizes this stupid thing. God has that one special person. Quit telling people that. For heaven's sakes, the Bible never talks that. You show me one place in the Bible that says that.
I think you should give the church a swirly again.
Then we'll talk. Oh, man. Church needs God's mercy and grace and forgiveness. Otherwise, the Lord doesn't kill us all. Good grief. There is not one special, because what happens is, see, when their marriage gets bad, like, oh, I miss God. I married the wrong person. I didn't get my soulmate. I didn't marry this idiot. I should have married the other idiot. You know, I don't know what I was thinking. Look, if your marriage stinks, it's because of one reason. You're doing the wrong things. Mm-hmm. It's just that simple. See, the Bible knows that the principles of Christianity are so powerful. The principles we say we believe in, obviously we don't. But the principles we say we believe in, the principles of love, patience, kindness, forgiveness, these principles are so powerful. Listen to me, you people. The principles of grace and forgiveness and God's word are so powerful. They will work with any two people in the world. Any two people in the world could get married. You could just draw them out of a hat. Any two people in the world could marry each other, assuming they're opposite sex, and and have a fabulous marriage. If they will live by those principles.
That's a big if.
That's the point. That's people what the Bible says. You should only marry a believer in the first place. You girls out there dating unsaved heathens.
Oh, but I love him. I think it's going to be fabulous. Yeah, wait till you've been married for 10 years.
It doesn't take
Nobody
10
thinks.
Years.
No, Nobody sure thinks. Doesn't. They're all running off their emotions. They think they found their soulmate. The Bible never talks about soulmates, never tells you to find that one perfect person God has for you. No place, anywhere. You show me where that is in the Bible, and I'll give you a check for $5,000. And Diane will cover it. It's not in there. It's not in there. Goodness gracious. We say we're Christians, then we live like pagans and heathens. There is not one special soul. Now, if you have someone who you call, she's my soulmate, or you have a term of endearment that couples refer to it, that's fine. I don't have any problem with that.
It's that searching for that one.
It's that idea of that.
Or thinking that
what they believe is the key to a great marriage is not doing the right thing, is finding the right person. Mm-hmm. That's what you believe. Mm-hmm. Now, you want to find the best you can. I get it. And by that, what I mean is you really want to find someone who lives by those principles.
Right.
That's what you want to find.
But you still have to do the right thing. You always have to do the right thing, even if they're a believer.
Have married any guy who believes in the principles of God's word and had a fabulous life.
Mm-hmm. Not as fabulous as where
Not
she's
as
at
with
now.
Me, because I'm like the ultimate man.
You're the ultimate something, all right.
I'm the ultimate burrito.
I am the human burrito, for heaven's sakes. She'd have missed out. She could have married some poor slob with a great body all her life. How horrible that would have been. You know, someone who could actually fix things around the house.
Imagine that.
You know, someone who was worth 10 cents for seven. But no, she decided on the human burrito. Of course, I wasn't the human burrito.
You were a stick.
You were just a shell.
118 pounds when I got married. 118 pounds. And she was skinnier than I was. We were like, you know.
So how do you go from stick to burrito?
By sitting around on your butt and eating too much. What do you think? Of course,
and a
woman.
$50 a week beer allowance.
My $50 a week beer problem is one of the reasons I look like the human burrito.
He really doesn't have a $50 a week beer problem. Yeah,
I don't know why.
He should,
but
he doesn't.
My wife married me, but she did. And I always thank you for marrying me.
Thank you.
But I promise you, it's about God's principles. The reason we're still successfully married after 37 years is we live by these principles.
Preach it.
You need to do it too. God bless you guys. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.